Today at Whataburger, we're cooking the Buffalo Ranch Chicken Strip Sandwich.
You asked for it, and it's back.
We got 3 chicken strips, 2 slices of Monterey Jack cheese, topped with Whataburger's own buffalo sauce, a little bit of buttermilk ranch, all between a toasted bun.
Chicken sandwich on its own is good. Chicken sandwich with buffalo sauce is fantastic. It really wakes up a chicken sandwich.
It's crunchy, and then it's spicy, and then it's cool. Your mouth is exploding with flavor.
Whataburger's Buffalo Ranch Chicken Strip Sandwich. That's back, and it's only here for a limited time.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
And we are live on Discovery Paranormal on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com. And I am looking at you tonight. And I'm going to talk about ghosts tonight because there's a lot of happenings, man. You know, a lot of happenings. People contact me since, you know, it's what I do. I'm a paranormal investigator in my little sideline there. And then we go into places. We never charge anybody. We try to figure out what's going on. And it's more about making the connection between the people there experiencing, having their bad experiences, if they can't sleep at night and do all that other stuff. And then try to make some kind of connection to either, you know, neutralize what's going on, move people over maybe. We work with some great mediums. You know, I have different people coming in at different times. So, you know, it's important to understand that we don't know everything. And we are in a universe where we only know a little tiny fraction, maybe a billionth of really what of knowledge that there's to know, right? We don't know anything. We know nothing. We know, look at politics. We don't know anything, nothing. You know what I mean? There's still people on the planet running around in loincloths. We know nothing. We're just basic people. Most people build their whole lives around money or sex, things like that. Very primitive, very primal things. Power, whatever. So, but when we look beyond, when we think about, you know, the next life, afterlife, you know, I know a lot of people that believe in it. And I know a lot of people that are proven. And that's what I like, me personally. I want the guys out there and gals who are proven, the people who, like Robbie Thomas, who works with the FBI, works with police agencies to find bodies, help solve crimes. It's amazing. You have a medium. You don't ever meet people, I don't believe in mediums, you know. And then to me, it's like a ridiculous statement, you know, to say I don't believe in something that I don't know about. You know what I mean? So you haven't learned that yet. You haven't understood that yet. You haven't experienced that yet. But yeah, there's some great mediums out there, like Robbie Thomas, who does help the police, and he does go out and help solve murders and solve crimes, and he writes books about it, and, you know, you can't go wrong with people who are proven. And I know a lot of people who are in that world. So, and it's a science. Paranormal investigation is a science, which is kind of a weird thing because the word paranormal doesn't really say, okay, you know, scream science at you. It screams occurrences that happen that can't be backed up scientifically. But you know what? I've proven that wrong time and time again with multiple investigations is when you start pulling out the equipment and you get those readings, not just readings. You're not just sitting there in the dark, holding something in your hand, waiting for something to happen. You have to engage and you have to like go into a situation and let them know that you're there to talk to them, number one. But number two, be likable. You know, I see a lot of shows out there and I'm like, you know what? If I was a ghost, I wouldn't talk to those guys. I'd be like, you know, knocking them out the door, kick them in the booty, man, get them out the door. So it really comes down to if people want you in their home to investigate, if you can help them. Sometimes you can't. You know, there's entities that are in there, man. Even though I know amazing people, I know people that get rid of demons, apparently, you know, all kinds of stuff. They're good at what they do and they have a track record because when you go into a place and then you can like neutralize it or just build that kind of bridge and say, okay, to the people living there, this is your deal. You're living here. You can't sleep at night because you got eyeballs looking at you or something sitting on your chest or whatever. That's some heavy stuff. And that's someone trying to communicate with you for whatever reason. Either they got the get out of my house syndrome, because there's a lot of that. Some people die and they don't even know they're dead. We have Class A EVPs saying, I'm not dead, you know? You kind of laugh in a weird way when you hear it, but then you don't because you know how serious it is. And you know that these people have to live with it. I don't live in a haunted house, right? Not saying that there's not things that cross through here, and I felt it. You know, I'll tell you, got a good friend who passed away months back, and a really good guy named Red, right? Older dude, you know, from England, and we talked a lot about scotch and things like that, you know. So I said, we kept saying, we didn't live too close to each other. We kept saying, hey, we'll get together and have a dram or two of scotch and laugh about it. And he passed away from cancer. Terrible, terrible, terrible disease. And it's unforgiving. It doesn't judge you. It doesn't care what color you are. It doesn't care what religion you are. The only thing it cares about is it wants your good cells to kill you, right? Anyway, this guy passed. And I had not known that yet. I fell asleep in my living room in a chair, right? Which happens, you know, I'm chilling out in there. Like sometimes I'll get up 3 o'clock in the morning, which is, we say the veil is very thin at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's an energy time for me. And I'll get up 3 o'clock in the morning. It happens almost every morning. And then I'll kind of just mill around or whatever. And I'll go out into the living room and just chill, look out the window and just whatever, right? Look at the stars, that type of thing, fall asleep. All of a sudden, this cold air blew right across me, right? Real, but not cold, makes you want to shiver type of cold, but it was cold. Like you know, I felt cold afterwards, but it was a freaky type of cold, you know? Often in investigations, we'll feel different things and then like, you know, the spider webby type of thing feeling on your face or on your hands when there's no spider web there. It's just like you're walking into a net of energy or something like that, right? In this case, I'm sitting there and I thought about Red. I was like, wow, you know, and I got chills going up now because I'm thinking about it. And I thought about him and I'm like, man, I don't know. It just was weird. And then later on that day, I saw his daughter post on Facebook that he had passed away. So when people do, a lot of times they'll contact you. Maybe he came by for that dram, you know, and it's, you know what, when people pass, we miss them, is what it is. And then they'll come back. And I have, you know, a lot of people reach out to me. Like, you know, my husband died or whatever. And, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend died or, you know, some loved one. How can I talk to them? One lady was desperate. She was like desperate. Her son had died, right? And it was a horrible case because she wanted a different story than the one that was told, all right? She didn't want to think that he killed himself. She wanted to think that somebody killed him. Like in her mind, he couldn't do that. My coffee went down the wrong way. There's coffee for you. So in this case, she was contacting everybody, contacted me. I turned her on to some other mediums, contacted them. And these people all have the same message, you know. It doesn't look good. And these are real. And she's like, oh, they're fake mediums. They're horrible and whatever. I'm like, listen, the message they get is what they get. They're not going to lie to you. They're not going to falsify something for you because you want a different answer from them. And it's a life and death thing. It's very hard to work out when someone does pass like that and you want to be able to contact them. So this medium that I turned her on to, he told her he saw in his – he sees movies in his mind. Mediums see all different stuff. Sometimes they hear, sometimes they see, sometimes whatever. I mean, I've worked with a lot and they didn't get the same answer out of two of them. You know what I mean? It's kind of like they all have their own gifts and abilities and are ways to interpret that energy and understand. So in this case, the dude said, I see him hanging himself. I see him like, you know, he had this heartache, like, you know, oh my God, this emptiness. And then the guy was a hunter. He bow hunt, that type of stuff. He had a tree stand. He hung himself from the tree stand. And, you know, the DA there basically ruled it suicide. You know, I contacted the DA there for her and just to check in because she said they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. The evidence was pretty solid, you know, pretty solid. They didn't look like there's any foul play. Not to say that there isn't in situations like that. As an investigator, I can tell you that sometimes people fudge things up to make it look like that, you know, but in this case, the general consensus from everyone involved is that, except his mom, is that he committed suicide. So it's just, you know, She had a hard time dealing with it. So months later, right, this video comes out from the guy's ex-girlfriend, right? Ah, I'm dying tonight. So she said, he said he was going to kill himself. He sent her a picture of the tree stand saying, wow, this is where I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to do it, you know? So it's that simple. It's that simple sometimes. I think that in the real world, we don't want to acknowledge certain things, you know? In the real world, we don't want to confront those demons, right? And she had to wrap her head around this guy killed himself. Her son killed himself for this girl because she broke up with him, whatever. There was some taunting back and forth between them. She didn't do the right thing. The guy said he was going to kill himself. She didn't, like, report it. She didn't tell anybody anything, you know? And he did. And that's it. So he also didn't visit her. You know, the mom wanted him to visit. And she's like, that's reach out to paranormal investigators saying, okay, like, what equipment can I buy to communicate with my son? What can I get? What can I do? You know, you want to give them an easy answer. There is no easy answer. And then anybody that has an easy answer is lying, or they're steering somebody down a bad path. And there's plenty of charlatans out there that'll take your money, you know, mediums or whatever, people who portray themselves as mediums, right? And they're not. They'll just take your money. I've run into that a lot, that people say, you know, they give them thousands of dollars and they're cursed and all kinds of stuff, man. We do stuff for free. We go into places just so we can understand for ourselves, right? I make shows out of it, put them on YouTube here and there. But it's more about understanding what's going on. And I like to prove things to myself. If I can't prove it to myself, I can't prove it to anybody else. And I try not to make claims. But there's things that happen, pictures, video, you know, voices, whatever, that you can't account for. Got great evidence. So, like, you know, this guy David, I've had him on the show a couple times. We've done investigations around him. Got our best evidence ever from this dude. Full body apparition pictures of his aunt who had passed away and trying to get him a message. And we got this woman. Got her by herself in his bedroom and then got her in front of Pete, one of our investigators, who was putting a recorder on David's desk, and then she was like right there in his face. You know, we have the pictures online. She's like right there in his face. I'm like, you didn't feel anything, nothing? Because usually they say, you know, well, if they get close to you or whatever, you can feel a cold spot because they're trying to materialize, right? And then, you know, they draw whatever energy, apparently, you know, is the theory anyway. They draw whatever energy from around them, including thermal energy, which would cause a cold spot, right? So creepy picture, because when you zoom in on it, you can see her turning her head, looking right into his face, like they were like nose to nose. And wow. And you can see how like Pete's rock solid, you know, in the picture, and how she's kind of like not, and transparency and that type of thing. That's the real deal. So David is like a magnet for this type of stuff. His family used to get into Ouija boards back in the day. And, you know, out in California, there were that jet setter Ouija board type of crowd. You know what I mean? You know, one of his friends had committed suicide and then came back to, that was the whole story, that actually why we went in there, because they kept seeing all these things that were going on. So this guy committed suicide and did it horribly, like right before Halloween. It was local here in Ithaca, New York. And the dude went to, I think first he crashed his car. He didn't die. Then he went and smashed someone's garage window and then used the glass to like try to cut himself. That didn't work. Then he hung himself in a tree. So the people that he did this on their property were away on vacation. So when he hung himself in a tree, other people driving by on the street, it wasn't a well-traveled street, it was like kind of a country road, they see this dude hanging there, they thought it was part of the Halloween decorations. So he stayed there for a few days until someone realized that, you know, it was a human being. So this guy contacted David. David wigged out. We got a video of him flipping out. He entered him. He had to run out of the apartment. It was really dramatic, you know, and a lot was going on. And this was like one of our first investigations. It was years ago, you know, years ago, literally, like I think 11 years ago. So I think it was maybe our third investigation, really. So it was right there in the beginning. And he just, you know, he had these issues and we kind of worked things out. And then all the stuff happened with him later on. Then he moved. So I'll make a long story short. He moves into this farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere, right? We're upstate New York. This is a town where, you know, where they had all kinds of stuff going on. There was farms, slaves back in the day and whatever. Really old area, right? Got a lot of roots. So he's got this farmhouse. It belonged to a doctor. And then the doctor had a temporary morgue there. So he like moves in this place. But the landlord tells him, you know, you're going to see ghosts in this place. People do. People move out. They don't stay there longer than 6 or 7 or 8 months. And they move out because they can't handle all of these occurrences going on. So he moves in. And he kind of says he's a medium, but he doesn't want to be. But I think he's attracted to the whole thing. And it's a lot of energy, and you have to understand it. And, you know, we keep telling him to read books, read books, read books. And it's kind of just, you know, educate yourself as much as possible or talk to other mediums, right? He's telling me he sees, like, you know, little kids running down the hallway and this depressed-looking type of woman walking up and down the hallway. So, you know, of course, we went out there, did a couple investigations. I got poked in the arm by somebody. And then his mom kept seeing a guy with a farm hat walking around. There's like a multitude of activity going on there. It's not just one thing. There's like a whole bunch of things. So then, you know, his mom got sick. She went to like a hospital care, but then she got back out again. So now she's back in the house. And they have home health aides. And then so this dude, you know, starts hanging out with this guy he made friends with. And then the guy dies, right? And they still don't know how he died, which is weird, but they're like investigating it. And, you know, I think it was more in the lines of drugs. A lot of people dying from opium these days. A lot of people are, I mean, a lot, you know, 74,000 people died last year from opiates. So these are untimely deaths. And then, you know, when you take somebody out of place and time, it's kind of like a shock to them, or they don't know what happened, or mainly they get confused. We run into a lot of just spirits who are just confused. They don't know what's going on. And, you know, to them, it just happened. It's just like a second ago, you know, or they don't know, or they're just kind of stuck in that world. And a lot of times they'll say, hey, they see things for how they were, not how they are now. So anyway, this guy used to live in the place where David lives now. And we know a guy that used to live there, right? And he won't talk about it. He's terrified of the place. He grew up in that house. He lived in, you know, his room, his bedroom was right across from David's bedroom. And we were doing the investigation there. I kept seeing somebody peek at us. What? And it wasn't a good feeling either. And we have these lights in the hallway that you have to have their motion lights. You have to walk past it or do some kind of motion to make them turn on, right? And then, you know, these spirits have a presence. You know, a lot of people think they don't have a body, they don't have a presence. They do. Of course they do. You can hear them. You know, maybe they don't have a larynx anymore. But I mean, those vibrations, it is a presence, right? So this dude just paranoid. Don't even mention that house to me. I don't ever want to go back there again. Don't even talk about the woods. No, right? And the guy's in his, like, you know, late 40s, whatever. So that's a dead end, no pun intended. And then David starts seeing these little fuzzy creatures walking around with big teeth and whatever. And I don't know, man. And people coming out of the wall. I'm like, I have got to see this stuff. You know, you can't tell me about fuzzy creatures, little creatures with teeth, and not get someone like me interested. Of course, you know. We go over there, all a bunch of equipment, put cameras around, whatever, do our thing. Didn't capture any of that. Then he says his coffee maker or his coffee grinder disappeared, like completely disappeared. And as we're sitting there, I'm thinking, like, what the hell kind of energy do you need to physically make something disappear, right? And he couldn't find it. I'm like, you sure you're not sleepwalking? He's only walking around. He grabbed it and you tucked it away somewhere. It was a big farmhouse, a lot of storage, a lot of places. No, definitely not. Can't be. Okay, man. But coffee maker, that's too bad. You know, you try to, you know, coffee grinder, you try to wrap your head around what you're being told at the time. And, you know, maybe the guy's having a psychotic episode or something, someone's messing with him. You know, you try to think about all kinds of answers to that situation of what it could be, right? Without jumping to any conclusions. You know, the coffee grinder actually came back like 3 days later. He said he walked down into his kitchen, and it was right there where it always was, without exactly where it was, as a matter of fact. So that's interesting in of itself. Okay, so this guy dies. Now he sees the dude in his house. And I'm like, really? So then he sends me a video on his phone. And he's like, there he is, right next to my bed. So he's like scanning around his bedroom. And here's this dude. You can see his arms, his torso. I mean, you can't see his head because the video cut that part out, right? The guy's like naked. You can see him. You know what I mean? His groin area, the whole bit. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, this is like some serious stuff. Because that's the evidence I like to present to people. I don't like to say, all right, you know, here's this. Oh, what was that sound? Oh, it was a ghost. You know what I mean? I don't like that. I don't like that. Is it scratching in the wall? Oh, it's a ghost. You know, no, maybe it's a freaking mouse. You ever think of that? You ever think it could be a mouse? So I like real evidence. I like voices. I like contact. I like people, if they touch me, grab my hand, you know, hold my hand, do whatever, man. You know, when we try to make contact, no matter where, no matter what, we want intelligent in contact. We want to set up that. So, I mean, if you got something going on and you're using, like, people will go buy you something really simple, like a K2 device, right? Remember the TAPS guys, they made that famous, right? Very simple device, very simple cell sensor, you know? So, of course, if you have a cell phone, you want to shut your cell phone off in investigations. You know, we do investigations. I make sure there's no radio devices whatsoever. None. Because it obviously, if you start getting messages or texts or whatever, it could set off these devices, you know. And, you know, we use tri-field meters, things like that, static meters, meters that like monitor the change of the environment. And also the environment changes, you know. I mean, there's magnetic, all kinds of interferences, electronic interferences. The more important thing is to have that back and forth conversation. When I got into this, I didn't know. I believed in it to the point where I had past experiences when I was younger. I saw a cat that had just been put down like minutes earlier, one of our family cat, and I saw a thing run right past me outside, and I thought I was seeing things. I was like maybe 15 years old. I thought I was seeing things, right? And then this cat will always be on top of the microwave in the kitchen. And when I walk into the kitchen, the cat, you know, I tell the cat to get down, it would jump down or whatever. It will see me to the point and jump down. And I experienced that a few times. I walked into the kitchen. I saw this shadow, this smoky type of impulsing shadow, you know, do that. And the cat had kind of like my sister, out of a panic, like slammed the door when the cat was running through when it was younger, and then had nailed the tip of its tail because she was trying to keep the cat from running outside, right? Ended up hurting the cat. The cat had like a hot dog type of looking tail, like it was like the stumpy tail, you know? So it had a certain shape. It wasn't like a particular normal shape of what you would think, you know, you would see if you're trying to imagine a cat. You know, anyway, then about 3 months later, I say to my mom, you know, cat's name is Muffy. 3 months later, I say to my mom, you know what? I think I've seen Muffy, because we were talking about ghosts for some reason. I'm like, I think I saw Muffy. And I, you know, saw him on top of the microwave. I saw him run past me from outside, like run back inside the house, like run past me. And she said that a few times she saw the same thing in the kitchen. And when she fed the cats in the morning, because there was two other cats in the house, she heard like a muffled meow coming from under the table, you know, and then the other cats even looked and there was nothing there. So that triggered an interest, right? And then there's other things. I lived in this house up in Lake Georgia. It took a hiatus. I lived up there for about 7 months back in 93. And the house I moved into was like just really crazy haunted house, man. So back in the late 1700s, the place was made for like wayward women or crazy people. They lock up crazy people. There was an area in the basement where they, now modern day, they had washer and dryers, you know, for people who move in the apartment and want to put their washer and dryer down there with hookups. It's pretty much that, right? On the walls, they still have these hooks, you know, round, whatever, not really hooks, but round O-rings, right, that they would chain people to. And then they would just basically chain them up and let them walk around the dirt and that type of thing. Then, this is even creepier, definitely creepier than O-Ring says. They had a hallway that went from one building to another, because this is like Lake George. Imagine back in the day, late 1700s, you know, barely even any roads, mainly just, you know, trails and paths and things like that, right? You have this mammoth house with another house that it kind of went off to, that later on was a place for old people, and it was like an infirmary where they would die. All right, so you have a property with a lot of activity, tons of it, tons of death, tons of going, you know. The people downstairs from me, I lived on the second floor. The people downstairs from me were from Queens. I made friends with them right away because I was from Long Island, you know. We start talking about things. They're like, this guy Andre is like, you know, this place is haunted like crazy. I'm like, really? Really? At that time, I was a writer for Good Times Magazine on Long Island, you know. So I was an entertainment writer, and I was taking a break, but I was reviewing albums up there and still going down to the city to do shows. So I was a lot of back and forth too. This guy tells me the place is totally haunted. So, okay. I had not told him that at that point, I didn't add this in, but maybe a week before that whole thing of us talking ghost, I was in the bedroom, right? And they had these big, heavy doors on this building. I mean, you know, they built stuff well back in the day. Big, heavy doors, right? I'm sitting there on the phone with my friend Jay. You know, down Long Island, call him. I got a cat. My cat's with me chilling out. The cats wouldn't come into the room. Never. Not that bedroom. There was another bedroom. They would go in and hang out. Living room, fine. Bathroom, no problem. Kitchen, no problem. That bedroom, never. The bedroom was always really cold, always uncomfortable. And because of that, I didn't even bother. I mean, I cranked the heat, put a space heater. It doesn't matter. It was like 90 in there. It was still cold. It was weird. So I'm sitting on the bed in there talking to my friend Jay. And then the door moves by itself, like 6 inches, 7 inches. No wind. It's the middle of winter. There was nothing going on. No air. No nothing. No fan. No nothing. So I said, can you move the door back? Can you do it? And it went back right where it was, exactly where it was. And I was like, holy freaking, you know. And I said, Jay, that's crazy. And he's like listening to me as this is going on. And he's like, that place is haunted. I'm like, yeah. It must be. It's crazy. And you always felt like people were looking at you in that joint. Okay. So then, of course, a week later, I talked to a dude downstairs, and he's put, this place is haunted like crazy. He tells me that 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he starts hearing people downstairs in that area, because that was like right under his apartment, that people would be chained up to the wall. He would hear chains clinking around, which is classic ghost. You know, chains? Come on, that's some Scooby-Doo. Chains clinking around and hear like people moaning, but like, oh, and then walking around in the dirt, like making noise, walking around in the dirt. And then he was like looking for another place to live because his family didn't want to stay there. They're only there for a short time. So I talked to the landlord, and the guy's name was Truesdale. He used to be a state trooper up there, and then he was a judge. So I'm like, what's with the haunting? You know, what's with the ghost? And he's like, Oh yeah, people see stuff all the time. Yeah, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, you just moved into Spook Central, you idiot. You know? Yeah. So like, okay. And this big building, heavy building, the walls were 22-inch thick stone walls, right? And it was a cold winter. I'll tell you, the beginning of that February, 5 to 10 below during the day, 20 below at night. That was cold up there. So anyway. There was another place, another apartment came available right on the river. It was on Schroon River. And it was actually a town called Warrensburg, right? So it was right on Schroon River, beautiful place, next to the county fairgrounds where they have horses and that type of thing, you know. But at this time of year, obviously, people weren't doing rodeos or all that over there. So I was like, okay, I'll trade you my apartment. And because I wasn't really happy about the whole – I wasn't the ghosts that bothered me. It was I wanted a better view, actually. It was really what it was. And the townhouse was beautiful. It was 2 floors. It had beautiful views of the lake, the river going up and down and the hills and all that, and the mountains and the dales. So cool. I'll do that, man. So then I was just about to say before, when this guy Andre, he had 2 older teens, and they're like, well, we got to show you this thing downstairs. So I'm like, what thing, you know? Because I don't like walking in places necessarily that I'm going to bonk my head. I'm 6'5", you know, so I have to know exactly what I'm getting involved in, man. You know what I mean? Got to know what I'm getting involved in so I don't bonk my head. So they're like, well, it's this passageway and it goes from one building to the other. And during the heavy winters, this is how they would transport stuff from one building to the other. I'm like, okay, cool. Come check it out. When people died, since these people were all poor, and then, you know, they didn't even have a version of Potter's Field up there, right? They buried them in the walls. And then you could see like some skulls protruding and some bones protruding. Really creepy as you're walking through this thing, because here are some of the skulls like looking right at you as you're walking through. Okay, that's cool. I move into the townhouse, right? And my mom comes up from the city with this guy that she was with, you know, who he and I didn't get along. You know, long story, but he had a bad attitude, let's just say that. So she comes up to see my new townhouse and see what it's all about, check it out. And then she and I in the townhouse are going out one door. He's going out the other door on the other side of the building. So all of a sudden the door slams, boom. I'm like, oh, you know, his freaking attitude. He says that somebody pushed him out of the door, slammed the door behind him and locked it. So at that moment, I felt like I was home. You know what I mean? Like whatever spirits are there, that's benevolent, man. You know, if the guy's got an attitude with me and you eject him like a bouncer, you know what? I love that. It's great. So, and I'll tell you, that place had beautiful energy, man. That building, really nice. The other place, no. That building, nice energy. It was great. And you could tell that people loved it at one time. And then I think it's part of just the nature and the view. And you got running water. You know, running water, we find a lot of paranormal activity around that type of thing, you know. So there's things that will bring it out and draw it out, like ley lines. So we like to follow ley lines. And then interesting enough, here in New York, just north of here, along the Erie Canal, you have a couple of really nice defined ley lines, which are basically these magnetic lines that circle around. A lot of ley lines are interconnected to things like Stonehenge on the earth, you know, all these important places, you know, pyramids and all that. They're all kind of interconnected through these. So that's kind of interesting too. But getting back to David, this naked guy in his room, you know, and he says that that's the dude. And the guy is like harassing other people. There's home health aides, okay? He's got home health aides coming to help his mom. The home health aides coming in and seeing all these ghosts during the day, at night, afternoon, doesn't matter what time of day, but they're not communicating with people. They just see them. They saw, like, you know, one was like, saw a woman looking out the window, you know, full body apparition. I'm like, dude, you got to put cameras around. You got to just capture all this. So he has his phone, and that's how he got the naked guy. And he didn't even realize he got the guy. He said he materialized in the room, and he was fading, and he whipped out his phone and tried to get the video. In fact, I'll post this. If you're on my Facebook for Discovery Paranormal, I'll post the video so you guys can see it for yourselves. And it's just right there at the end. You know, if you freeze the video, you'll see the guy. He's kind of bluish looking and just standing there, just this big dude, you know. So we're going to go back in there, of course, or I'm going to go back in there. You know, maybe just David and I, and try to get these whatever to come forward. And if it was the guy who just died and he's trying to get a message to someone, just like how we met this dude, that's how I met David. There's someone was trying to get a message to somebody. That's how I met him. You know, so I think that it's worth a go. And it's just, we usually go into places to settle problems, right? If someone calls me, and they're like, well, I got this problem going on. And, you know, no matter what it is, sometimes people get beaten up by these things. You know, I mean, like it happens, man. You know, people get accosted by these entities. And you think, okay, you know, maybe if you ignore it or whatever. No, it doesn't go away. So, and then there's benevolent energy. You know, I've been in places where it's been good. It feels really good. And the people living there had no problem because of that. Like it was nice, right? We did a bed and breakfast one time. This lady invited us in. It didn't feel like it was going to be much, you know. I think that the energy over there was benevolent. She just wanted some answers on that property. She it's a beautiful story, actually, but with a horrible ending. She was a school teacher, right? Retired. Her daughter, she lived down by Elmira area, and her daughter lived up, you know, north of there, right? And we were in Finger Lakes area, so it was all lakes, 11 lakes going through. So she would go visit her daughter periodically, drive up there. On this particular day, she took the wrong road. She didn't know why. She goes past this beautiful Victorian, broken down, man, you know, broken out windows, all that. She's like falling in love with the place. She said she said the place called to her, right? And I love hearing that, because I know of other cases where people were called to a certain situation and they brought it back to life. They fixed it up. Like, they were chosen to bring these things back to life, right? My friend Mark was in the same situation with the Erie Mansion. And you can see those investigations. We know we've gone in there, 12,000 square foot mansion that was belonged to a serial killer at one time. So obviously there's a lot of activity going on. So she gets drawn into his property. There's raccoons living in there, raccoon poop everywhere and all that, and decided to buy it and fix it up. Fought the guy next door. There was a dude on the farm who was not a very nice guy, and he didn't want her there. He just wanted the place to fall down so he could buy that land and continue on his property. So he just, you know, made her life a living hell. But she said when she first got in there and they're fixing the place up, she was looking for, like, say, you know, a chandelier to put in the foyer area, right? So she goes out, she's driving, takes the wrong road, goes past the sale, and then finds a chandelier. And she also needed a desk. And the person at a desk there, they're like, well, I'll give you a chandelier for $15 and a desk for $2. You know, like, take it away. So she started finding things that she needed and stuff that looked right for the property. Then one of the workers, when they were building, you know, putting up walls and doing all that and taking other walls down, he's like, you know what? What I really need is a bunch of files. You know, I need to file these things down over here. And then the guy takes the wall down and 12 files falls out of the wall. So I'm not saying that ghosts put them there. I'm just saying that there was a benevolence going on. There were things. And then they start doing the stairs. They found a letter under the stairs from the original owners, these two sisters that were nurses, right? And then their father or grandfather, it was at one time, owned the property, and then they inherited it eventually. So the two sisters, they both had roots in the area, but they, you know, they were traveling nurses. They were out there in the world. One was in Sri Lanka, right? And then, I mean, she even named the place after that, like the Villa Ambrosia or something like that. So really cool stuff. Just really, really interesting stuff. So we had this medium we brought in, you know, and the letter just was a congratulatory letter for the property, like, you know, welcome to your new house. And the letter was like from like the 50s or something. So just weird stuff like that, right? And then she would hear a Civil War whistle, like a dude whistling Civil War tunes. And it turns out the house was part of the Underground Railroad. It belonged to a guy who was in the Civil War. He was a colonel, and she would smell fresh blueberries in the house, like someone baking a blueberry pie, like, and there was blueberry bushes all around the place. So I requested that she actually bake a blueberry pie. When I get into an investigation, I literally like to sink my teeth into it, man, and especially with this pie. But I figured you recreate the space, you recreate the feeling, you recreate the smell, you recreate all that, and then you can trigger something, you can get something going. I like to visit accident scenes on anniversaries. We did that for a train crash, you know, after it was 99 years exactly to the day that this train crashed and a bunch of people died, and, you know, we had good contact there. But so in this case, we have this medium with us. She's actually a psychic, Tammy, and she came with us for a lot of investigations. You know, Tammy's like, we're walking through the second floor at this point, and she's feeling all kinds of stuff. Then she's like, Oh no, there's a fire. There's a fire and things are getting destroyed. I see a fire. And she's like, nope, there was never a fire here. She's like, I could feel it. You know, it's either coming or whatever. I could feel this terrible fire, right? She kept talking about that through the investigation, you know, to the point where I even had to cut some of it out because she just kept talking about this fire. And even walking to this area, like, you know, putting her hands up on the wall, and she's like feeling the place on fire. And so we made our way through, and you know, there was stuff going on there, but it was mainly like content energy. It wasn't like anything that would jump out at you. In the garage area, which was a pole barn type of situation, or a barn at one time, you know, we got some kind of worker. I mean, the guy identified through her as a worker, and we got EVPs off him. That was interesting, you know, that he was out there working all the time. So we concluded the investigation. There wasn't a lot involved. You know, it wasn't like a normal thing. That's for sure. And sometimes you go into a place and you don't get much. You know, sometimes I know people are going places, they get nothing. When we go into a place, we're basically called into the place. So it's like if you're called in there, you know, you have a good likelihood of finding some kind of evidence, you know, or establishing some kind of connection. You know, if it's just walking around an empty building, you don't know what's there. You don't know if anybody's around and whatever. Maybe they don't want to talk to you. You're kind of invading their space. And, you know, it's like that, right? Especially I see people out there who do this, who are disrespectful to the space. And that's not cool either, you know. But wouldn't you know it that a month and a half later, that building burned down. That she had a kitchen fire, and that's the area where Tammy was feeling it. And then it licked up, went all through these gables and the widow's walk and all that. And that's exactly what she felt. And the funny thing is, I didn't even know about it until like a couple years later. I was like reading some local news from over there, and I saw how like the Villa Ambrosia or whatever burned down. And this lady, you know, nobody got hurt, thank God, but the whole place burned down to the ground. And she had like put her all into that place, you know. But they're like, man, Tammy, you know what I mean? It's nothing that you can maybe not even prevent, you know? I mean, when a psychic tells you something, you can't really do much with it unless it's so ultimately specific, you know? But to me, it's a guideline. And then when we bring like psychics or mediums into a situation, we don't tell them anything, you know? And we're tight-lipped because I want them to tell me. I don't want to tell them, you know, I want them to tell me the information. I do a whole history of the property, even before there were buildings there or whatever. I want to know what happened there, you know, in the last 1,000 years, man, literally, you know, because I got people who talk about all kinds of stuff, Bigfoot and whatever, you know, and then, I don't know, that's not my area, you know what I mean? Like I'm into archaeology, and if you're going to find skeletons that are real tall or whatever that haven't been faked, I think that's pretty cool and that's pretty interesting. And I've heard stories like that around the way. But if you're going to talk Bigfoot to me, I'm going to tell you that they need, unless they can live for 800 years, they need some kind of a community population to keep their numbers going, like anything, like any species, like anything, right? Like anything. So whatever. It's fun to investigate, though. And it's fun to know what you're dealing with. And it's fun to go out there and see what you experience. With the paranormal, you feel it. You really feel it. Sometimes you hear it. Sometimes you see it. I've seen shadow figures walk past windows, you know, while I'm inside of a building, like right in front of me. And you don't just, you know, like see it. And at that point, you feel it, like you make a connection. And, you know, and I'm not so apt to believe because my mind is balanced out. It's scientific, you know. I think it is anyway. And I want to believe a lot of the times. This times I got pictures of stuff that, you know, your first impulse, like, look at this. It's a dude. It's a ghost. Well, you're looking at it. And then you want to reconstruct it. You know, I like to reconstruct. I like to see what could have made that image. And then you realize that it wasn't. It was just a variety of things coming together to make that image. So it's, you know, when people send me pictures of orbs, for instance, like, it's so irritating sometimes, you know, because, all right, you know, there's real orbs. I've seen orbs of light, real, all kinds of colors and all kinds of stuff, you know, not dust, not bugs, but most of it's bugs and dust, right? And I tell them the easy ways of checking it out. Anybody can go online and look at pictures of orb, not an orb. And there's a lot of people out there that are trying to prove their point. And me, I want to see the person, you know, I want the full body apparition. I don't want to mess with orbs of light. You know, that's just, it is what it is. It's nothing to me. I mean, it literally is what it is. I want to see the people. I want to hear them. I want them to dance right in front of me. You know, one time this lady that had passed, you know, she was into alcohol and drinking, right? It was like a flop house, you know, one time. And we had went in there. I brought her some peppermint schnapps, you know, and then it's like, imagine that you're trying to communicate and all of a sudden, like, here you are, you're there for them, number one, which bugs them out, and number two, you whip out a bottle of peppermint schnapps and then, you know, have a drink with them. That's cool, right? And it shows you that you're real and you're not there provoking, you're not there. There's only a couple times I've ever really provoked, and that was that one time at the Erie Mansion with Bill Ealy. I mean, he was a serial killer. And there was other entities there that you know, we did, you know, seances and whatever. And I had three amazing mediums come in that building, like three amazing mediums who crossed people over. You know, we had voice boxes going. We had all kinds of recorders and all kinds of things happening. But we also had about a dozen people surrounding the table holding hands. And that was good energy, man. You know, but so it's just, you want to see the results of what you do as positive. You know, and we never left the place worse off than it already was. And we've done some pretty heavy places where people are being attacked, pushed down the stairs and scratched and whatever. And you sink your teeth into that, like the blueberry pie. And I did have pie. The pie was great. You sink your teeth into it, you know, and you try to have some fun too. See, that's what I get. Sometimes people will write me. And they'll be like, you know, you're laughing too much, you guys, or you talk too much, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know what? There's right and wrong in everything in the world, if that's what you want to divide things out. I feel like we go into a place, we build a bridge, and we start having a laugh. The second, you know, I'm into humor, the second I start cracking all this and having a laugh, that's when they contact us. Not when we're being all doom and gloom and who's here, you know, can you tell me your name? Come on, man. You want to be able to be approachable and not be threatening and not sit there yelling and screaming and acting like a fool, right? And not arguing or wasting your time. So when people come to me and say, hey, man, I want to start doing paranormal investigations. What do I do? I'm like, don't. Stay home. You know, still don't do it unless you're really called to do it. I got people who like were born into it, man. They're called. They have that, you know, I mean, we tend to say everybody is sensitive on some level, right? Sensitivity. You know, you got medium psychics, whatever, and they're really sensitive. Some can hear, some can see, and that type of thing. It's and I like to try to trick them up too, to see what I'm dealing with, you know. And I've been lucky. I've been lucky. Every medium I and every psychic I've dealt with in all of this have been good on different levels, but I've always provided some kind of information, you know. But really it comes down to you knowing the property, knowing your history, knowing who's been there. And you know what? It's easy to find out actually what happens in the place. We did that one place, I'm running out of time, but we did that one place in Hammondsport, New York, where their first couple was being terrorized. The kids were getting scratched. They started wearing their clothes to bed because they thought the cat was scratching them or whatever. They still got the scratches, even with their jeans on and clothes on. So one kid who was autistic would wake up in the middle of the night and see all these eyeballs looking at him, right? The mom, she went to the emergency room a couple of times because something was sitting on her, pushing her down. And, she got pushed down the stairs. She actually fell, hands in her back, pushing down the stairs. That too, the door, the basement door, which had locks on both sides, but no exit to outside, right? You couldn't get out there from there. So whoever was going down that basement, locking themselves down there, I don't know what they were doing, but big, heavy bolt locks on both sides. I mean, you have to slide that sucker, you know, maybe an inch square, like bolt lock, really loud to open the door. They would hear this thing open 2 o'clock in the morning. This door would open, chunk. The door went open. They go down. The door is open. The freaking thing was slammed. Boom! They were terrorized, terrified, right? So we were just about to go in there. We were gearing up, getting ready to go in that place. The family moved out literally in the middle of the night. That next night, they couldn't take it. Then they moved far away. They didn't want anything to do with that house, that property, nothing, okay? About 6 months later, 7 months later, I get a phone call from a dude. And he's like, you know, I just got out of the military and I moved into this house and I got my wife, a couple kids. And he's like, well, you guys are, you know, paranormal investigators. And I got this thing going on. My wife just got pushed down the stairs and my kids are getting scratched. And I got scratched and we don't know what's going on. Okay, give me the address. It was the same address to the same house, you know. And I didn't tell him at that point. I didn't say, listen, you know, there's stuff going on there. Because I'm trying to feel the guy out, if he's for real, if he's just messing with my head. Because you never know, right? So, I mean, before talking to that guy, when that family moved out, I contacted the landlord. And she wasn't having it. She didn't want anybody to go in there, nothing. Okay, I get it. There's liability, that type of thing. Sure. I kind of felt like the poltergeist guy. I was like, listen, you got a problem in that building, and maybe we can help, right? Anyway, the neighbors told me when we went back through the investigation, the neighbors all told me that nobody lived in the house more than 6 months. They would move out. And the house was haunted. Everybody knew it in the whole neighborhood. Everybody knew it. Right. Nice neighborhood, Hammondsport, New York, right by the lake, you know, the whole bit. So we went in there with Nicole Berardi Wright, who's a great medium, very young at the time. Came in with her mom, but I think she was maybe 18 at that point. But Nicole's out doing stuff before that. And she felt the presence. She felt people in the basement reading from a book or doing a Ouija board or something like that, messing around at one point or one time. But also, she felt that people died in the house. And I looked it up, and there was some kind of mishap. I don't know. It was like really early in the 1900s. And basically, the family of five have suffocated. The records were kind of spotty, but they basically, I don't know, from smoke inhalation or something like that or whatever, you know, but they suffocated. So basically it was get out of my house. They didn't know they were dead. You know, there was a hallway where they had a closet now. Well, before there was a hallway, people would be walking through there in the middle of the night. These kids are in their beds and they're seeing people like walk through the closet door, come through there in the middle of the night, like telling them to get out. So we went in there and Nicole did her thing. You know what she did? Might sound a little corny to you, man, but I believe in stuff like this. She did the St. Michael's prayer and asked to protect that place. And then the guy had contacted me like a couple years later, 2.5 years later or something. They still live in the house. You know, he said, since we were there, nothing's happened. No problem. No nothing. No door slamming. No scratching. No one being knocked down the stairs. So I feel like we did some good, you know. And when you leave a place where it's like that, you know, these people can sleep at night, they don't fear, whatever, and maybe they understand a little more about the world than they did before. So with that, I'm going to leave you with that. Maybe have David on the show next week, talk about naked guy in his bedroom. This is Michael Engley on Discovery Paranormal, of course, Discovery Paranormal Radio on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7, and Pass Christian saying good night, y'all.
The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just a buck. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text message and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.